Hello, this is Brittany Miller. Thanks for tuning in to the Mama Retreat podcast. I have a special guest today. Her name is Kristen Jensen. And Kristen Jensen is the author of a book called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, and the founder of a program called Defend Young Minds. I heard about Kristen's book from my sister-in-law. My sister-in-law has 6 children. And she has attended the Utah Coalition Against Pornography conference several times. And I don't know if I've seen the book in her home or if she just told me about it. But I immediately was intrigued because the topic of pornography is really, it's hard to talk about. It's hard to talk about with your spouse. It's hard to talk about with kids. It's hard to talk about with other people. Like we don't talk about it very often. So when Defend Young Minds reached out to me and asked if I wanted to talk with them and do this podcast episode with them, I said absolutely. Because A, I wanted to learn something, and B, whatever I learned, I wanted to be able to share it with others. So today I'm interviewing Kristen Jensen. And Kristen is a positive voice for raising empowered, resilient, screen smart kids who know how and why to reject pornography. She instills hope and confidence and leaves her audiences with a pragmatic advice that they can act on immediately to defend young minds. Kristen has raised her strong voice at international conferences and symposiums such as the United Nations Civil Societies Conference and the National Coalition to End Sexual Exploitation Global Summit. She has testified before the Washington State Senate Law and Justice Committee on the public health crisis of pornography, and she's a trusted guest on a variety of media platforms as she speaks up for defending children from pornography and all forms of sexual exploitation. Kristen received her bachelor's degree in English literature and her master's degree in organizational communication. She's a mother of 3 and a grandmother of 2 and currently lives with her husband in Washington State. So please welcome Kristen Jensen.
I appreciate you being here. So we're going to talk about these 2 books, Good Pictures, Bad Pictures and Good Pictures, Bad Pictures Junior. And then I have just a couple questions for you that maybe selfishly I'm wondering for myself, but I'm hoping that other moms who listen to this podcast will be able to resonate with those questions and also feel like they're prepared with some resources to move forward.
Absolutely.
Yes. I have 3 children. My children are 7, 4, and 3 right now. And I was able to read. I wanted to start with the junior version with my 7-year-old, even though this one is recommended for kids that are 7 and older, but it was good. It was just the right amount of bite-sized stuff for her that I feel like when we move to the higher stuff, she's going to understand.
Perfect.
This one. That's great. Anything you want to say quickly about these 2, why you felt like you needed to write them? Yeah. Anything like
my that? My backstory... It's really the backstory of another mother. When I was raising my children, they didn't have as much access to the internet, and they certainly didn't have the internet in their pocket. It's very different today. But I moved to a new town, and I met a woman. She had a large family. She was homeschooling them. She wanted to protect them from all the bad stuff out there. And unfortunately, the bad stuff came in their home via the internet. And they found out that her 17-year-old son had been sexually molesting his younger brothers and sisters. So from the 14-year-old down to the 4-year-old, with devastating consequences. And for him, for the family, for the marriage, the whole thing. And she was telling me about how he was being prosecuted and how he had to go away and the counseling for the other kids and all this mess. And we talked till 1:30 in the morning. And then that next morning I woke up and I just felt compelled with this thought, how are we going to warn the young children? I looked for a book. I thought there would be a couple of books on Amazon.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find anything. And I thought, I've never had an original thought in my whole life.
Yeah.
There must be a book because there's a book for everything, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And to solve every problem. But I couldn't find a book to solve this problem. And the problem was kids are getting exposed to pornography. They're getting harmed by it. They're harming other children. They're it's just devastating, the stories. And this is just one story out of millions. Mm-hmm. I looked for a book and I couldn't find it. And I had this crazy idea that because I had majored in English a long time ago, that I could write a book for children that would take maybe a couple of weeks. Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, Porn Proofing Today's Young Kids took 3 years to write and publish. And I ended up publishing it myself. I couldn't find a publisher that wanted to touch this with a 10-foot pole. What?
I know.
Teach kids about pornography? Warn them about pornography? No, that was crazy. But we've been number one bestseller for almost 10 years now. I think we can say that after such success out there, we can say that we are definitely filling a niche and solving a problem for parents, trying to help them to begin this conversation early enough to really make a difference.
Yeah. And I think especially too, as we continue down the path where parents have grown up with social media and then their children have grown up with social media, that it will just become an ever-evolving thing. We actually need this type of stuff. Whereas I grew up, I didn't get social media until I was well into high school, probably the beginning of high school. And I didn't experience the impact that social media and the internet had on a developing, I mean, I guess my brain was still developing, right, but a really small developing brain. Whereas I can see the influences that it has on my kids and my friends' kids just that much more.
Right.
I think it's definitely needed. It's still hard to talk about because there's a lot of stuff we don't know. There's a lot of like research that's coming out, the harms of pornography, the harms of social media and things like that. So we're kind of understanding, but it's still like, how do we talk about it? And I feel like reading this book, especially with even my 7-year-old right now, has opened the door. And I'm like, whoo, I feel like the door is open now and we can have this conversation instead of when do I have the talk? Do I wait until
it is a burden?
Yes.
It is a burden off of your shoulders. When you begin this conversation, you may be afraid, you may feel trepidation, but when you get it started, you're going to feel so much better.
So much better.
Yes, because you've opened the door and your child is so blessed to have a parent that has the courage to start these conversations.
Yes.
To protect you, to give them a defense against them so they're not caught off guard.
And what I love is that it makes everything so clear. It teaches children what a bad picture or pornography is, because pornography is a big word that 7-year-olds are not going to remember. So we talk about pornography equals bad pictures. What is a bad picture? And then, so it describes it. And then it even asks the question, have you ever seen a picture, cartoon, or video of people with no clothing on showing their private parts? If yes, where did you see it? And then if you have, don't worry. There's something good you can do if you see a bad picture. My 7-year-old said, yes, I have. And I was like, great.
Buckle up.
I know, that was exactly how I felt. I was like, all right, I should have figured. But you know what I mean? But instead of being scared or feeling shame around it, which shame is one thing I want to talk about today, it was just like, all right, here we go. We have the resources and I know how to discuss this with her. So I'm really glad that.
And sometimes it'll be like a cartoon. Sometimes it's like nothing to worry about. And sometimes I've seen somebody has shown them something at school or when they're at soccer practice or something like that. In any case, it's much better for the parent to know what is happening with their child. See, there are so many studies, Brittany, that show that parents vastly underestimate the negative experiences their children are having online. Vastly. By 100%. And there's just one that came out specifically about pornography that was done in the UK, and parents, especially for girls. Oh yeah. No, my girls haven't seen it.
Yeah.
When 58% of the girls said that they'd seen it. So it's so much better to know what your kids are actually dealing with so you could be there to mentor them.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The junior book came about because I had parents coming up to me asking, can you write a book for preschoolers? And I felt like somebody had punched me in the gut because what? And then I look around and every three-year-old's on an iPad or a tablet or something. And I realized three-year-olds, and now I've heard many sad stories about three-year-olds seeing pornography and imitating it. So it's so important that as soon as your child has any access to the internet, that you begin to warn them, just like you do when they can start to walk and toddle out onto the street, yep. Right?
Yes.
You warn them that there are cars, there are trucks, there are bikes, yeah. And you have to be careful. But it seems like parents are often very careful about choosing the right neighborhood to live in, mm-hmm. the right school district, so it's safe. But they don't realize as soon as they hand them an internet-connected device, they're now in the most dangerous neighborhood in the world,
yeah,
potentially. And so they need to have some driver training, right? They need to, before you put them out into the internet superhighway, they need some training.
Exactly.
They need some digital defense.
And that's the question I was going to ask is, how early do you start talking to your children about pornography? And you're saying as soon as they have access to the internet on any device.
As soon and yes. Yeah. Because you may think that you can button down every single device in your house, mm-hmm. which is a little bit of, it's harder than you think. But even if you could, right? Even if you mm-hmm. could completely keep them up, the minute they go to school, the minute they go to a friend's house, right? The minute they go anywhere,
yeah,
all bets are off. Mm-hmm. I have heard so many stories of kids, they just ran to their friend's house to get a bike. They went inside and the older brothers said, hey, come over and look at this. Yeah. Boom. Porn. And that little boy that this happened to, he knew exactly what he was seeing. He knew exactly why it was harmful. And he knew exactly what to do after he saw it. So that's what these books do, is they give kids a definition mm-hmm. that's age appropriate. And then they are given a warning. They're given solid reasons why they should reject it. And then they're given a plan. Mm-hmm. So a definition, a warning, and a plan. And you don't need my book to do that. You can do that yourself. Mm-hmm. My book is just a real easy way to do it and to get it accomplished. And you know what? Kids it's interesting. I didn't expect this, but kids really like, books are credible to them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying it, and this book is saying it. So it's even more, oh, and then if you can get a few other people in their lives to say it, the more voices that say porn is bad for you and you should reject it, the better and stronger they will be and the better defense they'll have.
Yes, I love that. And I've seen that, especially like you were saying, the credibility. My 7-year-old, she's 7 going on 13. I feel she already has, I don't want to listen to you right now kind of thing. And even I said, hey, I want to read this book with you. You come sit down with me. She had to take a break from her show to do that. So she was frustrated. But once we sat down and started talking about it, then her attention was immediately like, okay, yeah, we're talking about something that's important. At what age would you feel like the conversation can change as they become older? For instance, going from, I guess we're still defining it as pornography. At what age do you feel like it's appropriate for the conversation to start shifting from like childhood language and like simple acts of avoiding pornography, the turn, run, and tell type of thing, to a more mature discussion and conversation?
Right. I think in the book for kids that are 7 or 8 to 12, that brings up a lot of other kinds of issues. So we talk about addiction.
Yeah.
Right. We talk about the brain and how the brain works, the thinking brain and the feeling brain. We also talk about, I touch lightly on these, but objectification, right, of the human body and how that people are like, people have feelings and they deserve to be respected. Pornography makes hurting people, because so much pornography is violent, mm-hmm. so violent, so degrading. I can't even I won't even speak about it, but it is the most degrading acts. And if you want to talk about kindness and you want to talk about respect and respect for people's bodies and not judging people just by their body parts, right? Mm-hmm. But by the whole person, because pornography fractures and dehumanizes. The people in pornography have had probably a lot of work done, many of them, to exaggerate certain features. And pornography is the exact opposite of a healthy sexuality. So I would say that you can start those conversations. But as soon as you start really explaining about sex to your children, you can engage in deeper questions, because what is portrayed in pornography is so toxic and harmful and destructive compared with a healthy view of sexuality. And it's so important that you get that really clear. And we have many articles. We have articles written about this on defendyoungminds.com. And we have a free guide, How to Talk to Kids About Pornography, that will get you started, get the facts, warn your kids, and continue the conversation. But I would say that as they learn about sex, and then as they learn about, just as you're talking to them about what is right, what is wrong, what is fair, kids want things to be fair. Kids need to know that they want things to be fair, and they need to know how unfair it is, pornography is. And as they get older, you can teach them about the links, and we have many articles on this. So go to defendyoungminds.com. And really, defendyoungminds.com, we produce so much content that is current, that will keep you on track, that will keep you informed. And the thing is, we just published an article about the porn industry and 5 things every parent should know about the porn industry. But getting clear on the difference between healthy sex and porn sex, I think, is really very crucial for kids as they get older. And also getting clear that every time you click on a porn site, you are basically voting for sex trafficking, because so many of the people in pornography are trafficked. So many trafficked individuals, even prostitutes, they are filmed, and those films are put up, those videos are put up. They can make a lot more money than the pimp can make a lot more money putting those videos up than he can. Anyway, I could go on and on about the sleazy world of sex trafficking, but it is completely linked and intertwined with the world, with the porn industry. They are one and the same. They are completely linked. All sexual exploitation is linked. But yeah, so you can get into those conversations and you can see the articles. Many families use our articles that come out almost every week. They get on our newsletter and they use those articles to prompt discussions.
Yeah.
So just another way that we are trying to help families, and we are helping families, millions of families all over the world.
Yes. I love that. I have one more question, talking about good and evil and good things we can do and bad things we can do without inflicting a lot of shame. I come from a family that everything was very heavily shame-based. And even religious leaders, despite their best intentions, have squeaked in a lot of shame-based tactics or things that have really been hard for me to undo in my brain as an adult. And I can see that in my husband as well. The shame that is so intertwined in his brain. Do you have any specific suggestions on either reading this book with your children or any other specific things that would help a parent and a child have a good relationship and be able to discuss these things without inflicting so much shame on a child?
Right. Yes. The porn industry is shameful. I'll just say that. Okay.
Yeah.
It's shameful. But children who are caught up in it are not.
Yeah.
They're innocent victims, honestly, even if they get if their curiosity gets the better of them and they go looking for it. In the books, and I know in the junior book, we have something like this as well. But we say that every part of our body is good, including our private parts. But taking pictures of them and showing them to others is not good. It's important for your safety to keep private parts private. So we're talking about safety. And there are, in the good pictures, bad pictures, we start out talking about, here are all these good pictures that we see all over, right? But there are bad pictures. And this is what bad pictures are. But it doesn't make you a bad person. Look, there's never one instance, because I've looked through it again and again, where I say that people, even that get addicted to porn, are bad people.
Right.
And I will just say personally, some of the best people I've ever met are people that have recovered from a porn addiction.
Yes.
They have had to really put a lot of work into it, and they've come to know themselves, and they've usually come to develop a strong spiritual, themselves spiritually.
Yeah.
Hurrah to everyone that has been able to do that and is continuing. So I would just make the difference between this is bad for you and you, my beloved child, and you have all infinite worth. And this is just an influence that can harm you, bad for you. And there are bad people out there trying to ensnare you and trap you to make money off of you. Because even if it's a free site, there's ads. And ads are what now is driving the business model of most porn sites. It's like YouTube, right?
Yeah.
So you can buy a premium, or you can just see it for free and see all the ads.
Yeah.
So that's so important for kids to understand that as well. I wanted to just say, though, as far as shame and as far as protecting children, kids who know to reject pornography know to reject the most commonly and most effective grooming tool there is for child sexual abuse.
Okay.
When your child knows to reject pornography, they can protect themselves. And we don't want to give, they're not responsible for protecting themselves. It's up to adults to protect children. But in many cases, if they have a defense, they know what's going on. For example, a mother wrote in to me about how her they went to a friend's house for dinner.
Yeah.
And the toys had been put down in the basement temporarily while they did some renovations upstairs. So the children were allowed to go down, pick up a toy, and come back up. This little boy was down there, 6 years old. His mother had read him good pictures, bad pictures. So he's trying to, you know how some kids will take it forever to find the right toy. He's deliberating down there. And a man came up to him, showed him gay porn on his cell phone, and was starting like, this could be so fun. Have you ever seen something like this? And trying to engage this child in a conversation about the pornography on that phone. This child absolutely recognized it. He also knew what to do. And he also knew that no adult should ever show a child pornography.
Yes.
Child should ever show a child pornography. So he ran upstairs and told his mom and got himself out of a very dangerous situation because they were friends. So that boy would have been over there at that house.
Yeah.
And that man who was down there, I forgot to tell you, he was renting the downstairs basement apartment.
Yeah.
I think that is another thing that I hope motivates parents to warn their children about pornography, because I absolutely believe, because I have so many other stories, we just don't have time to talk about that. But where children are safer and get themselves out of really dangerous situations because they recognized it and they went immediately and told their parents. I really believe that, just wrapping up as far as the shame goes, I think explaining why pornography is bad for them and bad for their future is just doing your child such a favor. I'll just end with this one story that I love to tell. And that is, a mom wrote on Facebook how she had read her child, 9-year-old son, good pictures, bad pictures. And 3 days later, he was at school and one of his classmates came up while they're at recess and showed him pornography on his phone and recognized it. He looked away. He didn't continue looking. He went home and he said to his mom, "I was scared, but I knew what to do." Mm-hmm. Can you just feel that? Like, I was scared, but I knew what to do.
Yeah.
And kids need to know what to do. I'm not very good when I'm caught off guard.
Yeah.
And so I don't think kids are either.
Right.
And we just need to warn them and begin these conversations. And they will have a much better chance of not getting trapped in this material because it's highly addicting.
Yeah.
Than if we just kind of cross our fingers and hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good plan. It's been, a lot of parents have been doing that plan. And guess what? It's not working.
It's not working. Exactly.
Not working. So let's give them a chance. Let's give them the education. We do that with every other danger, right? That they can, that they're going to be in. And so let's give them the best chance possible to reject pornography and enjoy. As parents, as moms, we may not ever say this out loud, but we want our kids to grow up, have a wonderful marriage, and have a great sex life.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that's not going to be totally, it's not going to be easy if pornography is the third member of their marriage.
Exactly. Going back to teaching children, okay, let's say they hit each other and that happens frequently. So we constantly have discussions about hitting, why it's bad and why we shouldn't do it, how it makes others feel, etc. That's something we're constantly talking about, but we're not like, quote unquote, shaming our children for hitting each other. You know what I mean? We're talking about the consequences and it, the feelings that happen with this, but pornography is one of those things that it doesn't, or at least we think it doesn't happen so frequently that we need to talk about it. But in your experience and understanding, it's something that is so present in just society today that we need to be having these discussions so that when they encounter it, they're prepared, they know what to do, they know what to look for, they know how it can affect them, and they can come out conquer and have a great sex life as an adult.
That's right. That's right. Because we want that for them.
Yes. I love that.
And we want them to be healthy and happy. And having an addiction to anything is very difficult. And we protect kids from alcohol and tobacco and other drugs. But then we just give them a device and say, go play a game on it. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. I think we need to be very cautious about the devices and when we give them. And when we have them, when we give them permission to have social media, it's, we have to be much more intentional about their digital lives and about their digital, the digital dangers than we have been in the past. And
yes,
all to the benefit of our children.
Yes, I wholeheartedly believe that. My Zoom, my free Zoom is running out. But really quickly, can you tell parents probably what's one of the first couple steps that they can do to start opening this door to conversation with their children?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, get educated yourself, get the facts. So download our free guide, How to Talk to Kids About Pornography. It's a quick start guide. It'll give you a lot of facts and tips for having those conversations. The books obviously help you to get that started.
Yes.
Because you're used to reading books to your kids. It's just one more book. And you know what? You may be nervous about it, but the kid isn't.
Yeah.
They don't have any context.
Yeah.
It's just one more thing that you're warning them about, right?
Exactly.
So it's no big deal for them, especially when they're young.
Yeah.
So get started young. And if you need to like practice, read the book to a stuffed animal or something, whatever. But get it. If you need to practice with a friend, your husband, your whatever, and but get going because you cannot, you don't have a crystal ball. You don't know when they're going to be exposed.
Yeah.
And as I said before, I've heard of three-year-olds who have watched pornography and imitated it and videotaped themselves imitating it.
Yeah.
That is, that child is going to have a lot to overcome.
Yeah.
And so if we want to really protect a child's innocence, we will actually warn them about pornography and give them these kind of digital defense skills.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kristen. I really appreciate you coming and chatting with me.
Thank you, Brittany, for all the work you're doing to help young moms out there.
I'll put links in the show notes to the free guide, to the books that you can just get on Amazon, and maybe some other things. But anyways, I appreciate you again.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Mama Retreat podcast. If you have a friend or family member that needs this message, please share.
Join the discussion on Instagram at the.mama.retreat.
We can't wait to hear from you.